This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk. We are listening to a conversation between Captain Johan Steinke and his shipmate.
Today I have one of my dearest old shipmates with me, Josh Scornavacci. He is incredibly talented in every way. What was your first sail like on Bounty, your first night out?
The first day sailing on Bounty was actually the best day, or one of the best days I've ever had out on the water. Mm. It was my first day sailing in the ocean, and we had just gotten done a big maintenance period in Puerto Rico for a whole month. So I'd been on the boat for a month, but we hadn't sailed at all. I believe it was about a 14-day transit, 12 or 14 days long, long transit for my first transit at sea. And we left Puerto Rico, and the water was beautiful, very clear. You could see pretty far, very blue. Immediately, they were flying fish everywhere, and it was the first time I ever saw them. So that was exciting for me. And they weren't the small ones you see in California. They were like the ones that are about 3 feet long. So big flying fish. They can skip across a football field in like three jumps. It was really cool to see as somebody who went to school for biology and to study animals. That was exciting.
Yeah, it's really hard for people to visualize what they actually look like in real life. Like, I remember I was so impressed. Like, yeah. It's magical. You just... That's why I put them in my second kid's book, because I'm like, they're amazing.
They're crazy.
You just look at it and you're like, this can't be real.
It's a cool thing to talk about. They go so far, it just doesn't look physically possible.
Yeah.
The swish of their tail and their 100 feet jump, which is amazing. But they were jumping like that because they were being chased by a megapod of common dolphins, which are also really beautiful. So most people know what bottlenose dolphins look like, but common dolphins are smaller and very colorful. They've got yellow and gray and black and all sorts of beautiful patterns. We actually saw a little bit on the way in.
Yeah, I know. Boat. I was concentrating on the channel. So
yeah.
For those of you who know, Josh and I just came in on the A.J. Meerwald, which is a schooner. So we were talking about the different rigging, the Bounty being a square rigger. Yeah, the square riggers look bigger, even if they're dimensionally not. But yeah, so we were going down the channel, A.J. Meerwald. It's a channel I've never been in. Lots of current. I was not concentrating on the freaking dolphins.
They were dolphins.
Lovely, guys.
But then, we climbed aloft. That was my first time going aloft underway. So I climbed aloft and set the topsail. We went on the head rigs, set the fore topmast staysail, and we sailed off. And with the dolphins following and the flying fish.
Johan Steinke is the author of the illustrated children's book, The Greatest Captain in the World. For more information, please visit SailSportTalk.com.
All right, when you hear that music, it's time to talk to Karen Lyle, who co-hosts this segment with me for SailSportsTalk.com. It's every Tuesday at 9:40, and it's great to have you again. Karen, how you doing?
I'm doing absolutely great, Rick, and so grateful that we have the opportunity to broadcast every week to the American Forces Network, because we've got a guest today that all of our listeners on that network are really going to love.
Yes, let's bring in Dan Garrett, a retired senior chief petty officer, and welcome to the show, CPO Garrett. What is that, an E7, an E8?
That would be an E8.
E8, okay. So just about as high as you can go as enlisted, right?
There's an E9, and then there's the Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, which is pretty close.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the things that you did, especially the P3 Orion submarine hunting aircraft. I find that quite fascinating, how you guys can find subs from the air. How does that all work?
Oh my stars! Well, we have hydrophones. We have floating microphones that we deploy from the airplane. We carry several dozen of these. You drop these in the water. They're saltwater activated. They deploy a microphone different lengths into the ocean, and we can pick up passive acoustic signatures, noises, frequencies from the submarine. I mean, if you imagine something as big as a nuclear submarine gives off a tremendous amount of noise no matter how much they try to quiet it. Mm-hmm. And so we can pick up those passive signatures, and then if necessary, we also can drop buoys from the airplane that are active, so they will actually ping the submarine, and then it transmits the information back up to the airplane, and we're able to sort of form a tactical picture of what's going on with the submarine, when the submarine is turning, when it's getting close. So we'll typically lay a large field of these buoys out in the ocean where the last known position of a submarine was, and the submarine will kind of drive through the field, and we'll pick them up and track them from there. So this is back in the day when Soviet ballistic missile submarines used to orbit, you know, in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California between California and Hawaii, and we would fly out of Moffett Field, California, or from Hawaii, and we would kind of track the ballistic missile submarines so that we knew where they were at any point of the day. So we'd go out there, we'd relieve a plane that was already out there, and another plane would come and relieve us.
Well, it seems that you can't get enough of the water because now retired, you've got a boat and you go out and you are watching whales and also even on the committee designing how to avoid hitting whales when you have the races. Tell us a little bit about the whale action over there in Monterey Bay.
It was, and oh, it's fabulous. Yours is... Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's real interesting. I think of all the yacht clubs that race on the Pacific coast, and to, you know, for your listeners, we race out of Moss Landing. It's about 100 miles southeast of San Francisco. The Monterey Bay is a sanctuary, and the whales will pass by and come into Moss Landing on their migratory paths to and from Alaska and Mexico. So we have the gray whales that come through, the humpbacks come through, and then blue whales will transit pretty much on the outer border, maybe about 10, 15 miles off the coast. They typically don't come into Moss Landing. So Moss Landing is a unique environment because if you imagine walking out of your front door and in front of your doorstep is the Grand Canyon, that's what Moss Landing is like because we have the Monterey Bay Canyon that comes right out of our harbor. So if you can imagine within the mile marker, on the left of you, it's 40 feet deep. On the right of you, it's 60 feet deep. And directly in front of you, it's over 360 feet deep right away. And it goes down from there. So the whales like to come into this canyon area very close to where our jetty and most of our racing takes place. And they like to breach a lunge feed. So what they'll do is they like to go down deep, and then they'll come up, and they'll try and scoop up as many anchovies and sardines as they can and an occasional kayaker. As they can in one fell swoop. So what's interesting is, you know, if you read the racing rules of sailing, the object must be large enough to require you to change course substantially if you were aiming right at the largest part of it. But in our case, we have these whales that a mature gray whale can be 41 feet long, weigh over 90,000 pounds, and often they're coming at you. So our fleet that races in our beer can races out of our yacht club range from Cal 25 to Pacific 38, and my boat's somewhere in the middle of Newport 33. And so, you know, if you think about it, the whales have us beat by length and tonnage. So so typically, you know, within our races, what we'll do is we usually have sharp lookouts for the whales to call them out by the clock system, where they are around the boat, and also whether they're moving left to right, right to left, and so forth. Typically, in our area, we'll have mothers and calves. So if you see one whale, chances are another whale is going to be right next to it or nearby it. You know, we'll definitely try to alter our course to avoid them. So we're under sail. We're not motoring. A lot of people say, well, wait a minute. Can't the whales see you or hear you, or aren't they aware of your presence? And one of the best analogies I heard was, like, imagine a two-year-old that's eating at a table, right? They don't care where the spaghetti's flying, or where the macaroni's going, or where the forks are going all over the table. They're really focused on this lunge feeding activity that they're doing. So a 25-foot cow is not really going to show up on their radar, so to speak, because they're very busy in this feeding frenzy. There's sea lions. There's dozens of sea lions that are sort of herding the bait fish, the anchovies and sardines. Pelicans, terns, gulls are diving in. So it's relatively easy to spot where the whales are feeding because you'll see a circle of birds going around it. And we also have a lot of whale-watching tour boat activity in the area while we're racing. So the boats themselves are obstructions, but what's really nice is a prudent skipper while we're racing will monitor not only Channel 16, but they'll also monitor the race channel and We have a whale watching channel where all the tour boats will communicate bridge to bridge, and they will call. They're very cooperative, and they call out sightings, or they'll identify what the species is. So, you know, you're kind of keeping the situational awareness. You got lookouts looking for the whales. We're avoiding the whales. One nice thing about when the whales are in town is typically that is the end of the crabbing season, so we don't have to worry about crab pots, which actually are a little bit more vexing for us because they're usually kind of right on the line of where our race marks are.
A couple more questions for our senior CPO, Dan Garrett, Rick Tittle, and Karen Lyle with you for Sports Byline and SailSportTalk.com. My dad was a lieutenant commander in the Navy, and the worst seasick he ever got, he was on a carrier during a typhoon. How about you? When did you lose your sea legs during your career?
Well, so, interesting story. After retiring, after 23 years in the Navy, I never spent 1 minute on a ship or a boat, believe it or not. I was in aircraft the entire time. So, these aircraft would typically, you know, when we're actively prosecuting a submarine, we'd be down 300 knots, 300 feet over the water, and I am happy to say, knock on wood, I never got airsick. So I never had issue with seasickness. I never had issue with motion sickness. Some folks did because where we were in the plane, we were way back in the middle of the plane, sitting sideways with no windows and watching a waterfall display in front of us. So I did see some folks that had an issue with it, but I was not one of those people.
Well, you also have a boat that you go out and take people to see the whales out there. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you went out, and what was one of the most exciting experiences you had in your whale watching?
Oh, wow. So we took some guests out from the Pacific Interclub Yacht Association, which is an association of over 100 yacht clubs all throughout Northern California. And so we were hosting a delegate meeting. We took some guests out. And, you know, it's really interesting. You want to create a realistic expectation for folks because they come down there and they go, oh, we're going to see whales. I'm like, well, you know, some days good, some days not so good. And so I was trying to be really circumspect about it, like, you know, we'll see what we see. We'll get out there. And before we got to the mile marker, there were spouts and flukes and breech feeding. And so what was really excited about that is, you know, everybody's looking around. And literally, I think this is the most exciting whale watch out of my years of experience sailing out of there. We had whales in front of us, whales behind us, whales to the left, and whales to the right, literally. And so it was very interesting for my passengers because they're literally trying to get a picture or a video of it, and the whales would pop up on one side, and they turn that way, and then the whales would spout on the other side, and they turn back to the other side. So it was interesting, but it definitely requires an active helm. In that case, we weren't racing, and so we had the ability to, you know, really alter our course when necessary. But it was about as close, I think, as we've come even during the races. So we're really trying to, you know, we want to give people a good view, but there are also a lot of federal regulations about maintaining a safe and appropriate distance from the whales. And not just for the whale safety, for your safety as well. We've had stories of people who've had keels bent or knocked off, rudders knocked off, because again, the whales are focused on anchovies. They don't care about you. They don't care about the kayakers. They don't care about anybody else. They're really, you know, in the middle of a feeding frenzy. And so that was pretty exciting. Another time that was really interesting was typically the sea lions and the whales will work together to sort of, you know, herd the bait fish into a ball so it makes it easier for everybody to get them. And we noticed that all the sea lions were gone hanging around the mile marker. And we saw a couple of fins in the area. And, you know, we thought, are there sharks around here? What, you know, what's going on? Where did the sea lions go? And we called the bridge of one of the whale ships, and they confirmed that there was a pod of orcas within the mile marker of our jetty. And for some strange reason, all the sea lions decided to go in and hang out on the beach that day.
Mm-hmm. No, I've actually seen like 40 or 50 sea lions right there at the channel marker of the Bonita Channel outside the Golden Gate Bridge. And there was an orca in the channel, and they certainly went as far away as they could get.
Yeah, they'll clamber up on the buoy, you know, like, so you'll typically have a dozen sea lions hanging around on top of the buoy, right? And I guess for the orcas, it's kind of like going to a drive-through fast food restaurant. They just kind of swing by the buoy, just grab somebody that falls off. So that was pretty exciting, you know. It certainly gives additional importance to focusing on not having any crew go overboard that day.
Yes.
Yes, and we just have a couple minutes left. Tell us a little bit more about people wanting to get involved with what you do and where we go.
Oh, yeah. With respect to whale watching and safety, there are some excellent resources that are available. There's a great app called Whale Alert. I'm going to double-check the name of that. It's called Whale Alert. So when we're cruising in the San Juan Islands or when we're down here in the Monterey Bay, there's an opportunity for people to post whale sightings. So they'll have a date, a photograph if they got it. So that really gives you a nice heads up for what activity might be anticipated in your area. Obviously, keeping an eye out on various websites, the NOAA website is good, and there are we actually look at the whale watching tour boat websites to see, what kind of activity is going on in the area. And it gives you an idea before you go out what to expect. But again, every day is different, so it depends on the weather. They tend to like to come closer to shore when the tides are high, and when the fish are there. So when we go out to the dock, we look in the water. If we see a lot of little silvery fish down there, the anchovies or the sardines, we know it's probably going to be a good whale watching day. So there's a lot of resources online. You will also typically find, if you're sailing out of or cruising out of any of the yacht clubs or charter areas that are near whales, they'll usually have signage telling you what the standoff distances are and other information that might help you be able to watch them safely but also stay away from them.
All right, there he is, Senior Chief Petty Officer Dan Garrett. Dan, as always, great stuff. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you so much. Cheers.
And Karen,
thanks,
as always, good stuff from you, Karen, as always.
Well, I'm really enjoy this Tuesday morning chat that we have with each other and our guests. So it's a pleasure to be here on the show, and I'll see you next Tuesday.